What's up, everybody? It's John Bush from Armored Saints sitting here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You are on the road to rock.
Hi, everyone. This is Eric Martin, the lead singer for the band Mr. Big, and you are on the road to rock with Clint Switzer.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the road to rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, Clint Switzer.
I tell you, it is our dubious honor here. Welcome, all-around great guy, tremendous musician, Stan Bush. Stan, you're such a part of our childhoods that I don't even know if I can properly quantify it. You are. You know, we have this brand called Saved by Nostalgia. You sort of exemplify all of that. So first of all, just thank you for all the wonderful work that, you know, kind of made us who we are today and that we were able to enjoy then, now, and forever.
Thanks. Thanks for the kind words. How you guys doing?
We are great. And we just got to get in here and talk about your album that in 2020, before we get to your new release single, we're going to get to the album. I want to talk to you about kind of your inspiration behind making Dare to Dream, produced by your friend Holger. And I love Live to Breathe on there. It might be my favorite one, although it's chock full of favorites, so it's hard to distinguish.
I like the 80s.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm still stuck in the 80s, I think.
Clearly, we all are.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, we, it was weird because the COVID thing was happening, you know, and in 2020. And as you all know, and it was in a way, I mean, that was the only silver lining was that myself and my producer, you know, Holger, you know, also my best friend, but he and I were able to just focus on that and, you know, not have to really have any other distractions. So it was kind of a, in that respect, it was a, you know, a positive. So, but yeah, thank you. We really enjoyed making that. It's anyway. Yeah.
Live to Breathe gave me some Peter Cetera Chicago vibes.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, I just turned 40 about a month ago, and we always talk about, you know, just our upbringing and the time period that the 80s was and kind of how it melded. And like I talked about at the onset, sort of shaped who we are today. And we were able to go on to build this kind of sports and entertainment brand that we have based around a lot of these things. And you have that song on the album Dare to Dream called The 80s, which sort of is exactly what I'm getting at, what I'm talking about, just where it sort of exemplifies the time period, whether it be the music, the pop culture, the style, everything about it. It just seemed like the perfect decade, which is why maybe Noah and I have never left.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's that song, The 80s, was fun. We did the music video, as you know, and that was actually my son playing a young me. It was sort of a trip down memory lane. We even rented a VW bus to be in the video, just like a time machine, you know, takes you back. But it was fun making that. But yeah, thank you. That was a really neat sort of, you know, look back and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And but it was a great era for all of us, I think.
Absolutely. Taking it to present day, sadly, we got to leave the 80s for a second here. Your new single, Freedom, talk about an ode to your country. Just kind of what inspired you? What was the inspiration behind doing that at this time?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I just, I don't know, for me, growing up here in the States, I mean, it's like, it's been such an amazing blessing. You know, like I'd go to the, you know, patriotic parades, 4th of July and all that as a kid. And, you know, they'd throw candy out. We'd scramble for the candy. But it was a cool, really cool thing to reflect on and think about, you know, how blessed we are to be here. And anyway, but that's what it's about, really. I just, you know, I obviously that's the motivation, was just to express my love for the country, you know, and that's about it. Not a whole lot. Secret hidden agenda.
it's got over 12,000 views on YouTube. I hope everybody goes checks it out. Stan Bush, the song's called Freedom. And like, it really, I don't know, I'm a patriotic person as well. I grew up in a small town in Missouri, and I, like you, growing up watching TV, you know, movies like Born on the 4th of July or the Wonder Years. They always had that signature 4th of July parade. And when I see this stuff and I see that and I've been able, fortunate enough to be able to travel the country and to see the vastness and to experience the differences and to see the beautiful landscapes. Yeah. And I think that video really takes you through that and just how beautiful and wonderful and vast and different this country is. And that's an important message.
It's really true. I mean, you think about it, throughout the history of the world, there's never been anything like this. This country, you can be from nothing and literally do anything you want. The sky's the limit. You know, it's like, I know I sing songs like that kind of message all the time, believe in yourself, go for it. You know what I'm talking about. You know, the opportunities are there. It doesn't matter your race or anything. You know, it's just you work hard and do what, you can succeed. That's it's unusual. It's unheard of, really, in the world, in history.
Right.
So, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. You said it right there. And there's a new movie coming out, should be out to release this year in 2024, The Last Kumite, a genre from our past that has long since gone away, but they're bringing it back. You, Paul Herzog, Muhammad Kesey are going to be partaking in this, a song, No Surrender. Talk about kind of how that came about and how you're all working together again.
Yeah, they reached out to me to put in a couple of songs. We wrote No Surrender for the movie. And there's also another song that they used of mine that was already existing. The Run in the Gauntlet, that was the name of it. Mm. But my friend, I had worked on Bloodsport and Kickboxer, the Van Damme movies. And so that was part of the thing, I think, with The Last Kumite was they wanted to bring back that sort of nostalgia from the Van Damme films, Bloodsport and Kickboxer were awesome films. And I had three songs in each of those movies. So anyway, it was sort of a no brainer to get me and Herzog and, the other guy, the actor. So it was very cool. They called me and, I was really happy with how it came out. We did a music video of one of the songs too. So that'll be coming out as well when the movie.
Oh, can't wait for that.
Yeah. Wow. It seems like a movie that was kind of rumored for years and now it's official. It's happening. The trailer just came out with your song, No Surrender, playing all over it. And when you see like Billy Blanks, Matthias Hughes, Muhammad Kesey, you see these people. And I think, I think Chong Lee is even back. I think he's even back in the film as well. I mean, this really, for a lot of people, Stan, that era of martial arts film has been completely forgotten. And maybe I'm just being, kind of a get off my lawn guy. Maybe I'm just longing for the past, but I feel like action movies today is wonderful and technical. And there's so much to like a Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise movie or a John Wick. It just doesn't have the same feel as like some of the action movies of the 80s, at least to me.
Yeah, I know. They have a lot of heart, that was,
kind
of the thing, the thing about the 80s films in general were awesome because you think about the music was a big part of the movie, like a movie like, Top Gun or, Back to the Future, they'd have like every song would like part of the story was the song. And it was just like really cool. They had these great songs that you'd be, in your head when you leave the movie theater, you'd be singing them and all. So that kind of thing is, kind of a way of doing business back then in the 80s. So they had all this great stuff, I think maybe that stuff is coming back, to have memorable music that's sticks with you. I've always been like an 80s guy. I like the anthems,
Yes.
Eye of the Tiger, you're singing the tune for weeks,
No Easy Way Out, Robert Tepper right there. So
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Tepper's a friend of mine. Yeah.
Oh, great.
You guys need a tour together. You and Robert Tepper need a tour together playing the soundtrack hits of the 80s. What a tour that would be.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I like Robert. He's a good guy. We actually did a show together a couple of years ago at the Whiskey. But yeah, we should definitely do that.
Yeah, we'll hit him up and let him know.
I'll give him a call.
But how did you get started kind of in this genre of the blood sport? We talked about The Last Kumite coming out, but how did it all get started with blood sport initially, you and Paul Herzog?
I'm not real sure who referred me, but they called me to just as a hired singer, to to sing that stuff, you know, like, I had just done that, you know, that one album, Standbush and Barrage, which was a Scotty Brothers Epic Records release. And that, of course, has The Touch, which is from the Transformers.
Right.
And the song Dare, you know, is on the soundtrack as well. But yeah, I was on the Van Damme thing movies. I was just sort of a hired singer, but it all kind of clicked. I also like The Touch. I co-wrote with Lenny Macaluso. He and I still write to this day. We've got a ton of songs together, and a lot of it's that action kind of stuff. And of course, we wrote The Touch together. But that that whole thing, I think The Touch kind of started this whole thing with us, with me, of being like this like cheerleader for rock and roll and believing in yourself and go for it, and you know, you can win, you can, you know. And it's just, I don't know, it just works, you know. I love that kind of stuff, you know, the action themes. And you know, we're working on stuff right now, working on a new song right now for something like that, you know.
Yeah, it's weird, you know, looking back about how important, you touched on it briefly, the importance of these songs and these movies. You know, I started watching these movies whenever I was, you know, 3, 4, or 5 years old. So I started forming my love of music and rock and roll, and I didn't know it at the time, but album-oriented rock or melodic hard rock, whatever you want to call it, around these songs. I discovered Alice Cooper because of the Jason Lives soundtrack. He did several songs for that. You mentioned Top Gun. We, you know, obviously, I learned about you through a Bloodsport and Kickboxer, and just the importance of those songs. And like, even if you're not a primary writer on those songs, you come in, like you said, as a hired singer, like how important are those songs to you and your legacy, do you think?
Well, it is a cool thing to be known for, you know, like, you know, that stuff, it's a lot of it sort of, has that message of, you know, going for it and you know, the whole action thing, you know, it's cool. The Touch was kind of the one that kind of kicked everything off. It was like released as a single like 3 times in Germany. And I got like kind of a known thing over there. I was like, became like a, not a hit, but you know, close to it, I guess. I went over there several times for tours and whatnot, to Germany and England. And, that was fun. You know, the people loved it. And, you know, the Transformers movie was like, being a part of that brand too has been like awesome over the years. They I go to the conventions. In fact, I'm going doing this one this weekend in Burbank.
Oh wow!
TFCon, and it's Burbank, and it's this Friday and Saturday. March 9 and 10. So I'll be there. Awesome. Yeah, and but yeah, it's amazing. You know, you go to these conventions and these people like you guys, you know, they were like kids when those songs came out. And so that, you know, it was a really important thing to them, you know, the songs, the music. And I was like happy to be, you know, be there for them or whatever. And I'm very humbled by the, you know, appreciation of that stuff, you know. So they're awesome people. They're really nice, wonderful. And you know what I mean? It's very like humbling. So
talk about how the process went and goes for coming in and doing songs for movies. Do you just go in a studio? What kind of notes do they give you? And then after the fact, what do you think when you see it in the movie or the project? Just kind of what were your thoughts seeing it in Bloodsport and Kickboxer, hearing your song and seeing how they used it?
Well, let's see. I think it's mainly just, you know, you learn the song and you sing it on those things. I mean, and some of the songs like The Touch, we actually wrote it, the song before it got in, it was placed in the movie. So we had originally written it for a Stallone movie. That was the idea. A movie called Cobra. You probably heard.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
for Robert Tepper did a song in that.
Oh yeah. The record company said, "Oh, we got the song in a Transformers movie. It's like an animated movie about robots." And I'm like, really? And little did I know that it was going to become this big, like, you know, huge phenomenon, you know. But it's been great being a part of the brand, doing conventions and all that, and other spinoff stuff, games and whatnot, TV shows and things. But I've had other songs in films too, but The Touch is sort of my most memorable or known song, you know. The Mark Wahlberg, you know, they in the Transformers, and all, of course also the movie he did, you know, with Boogie Nights. And it was cool because he was at a Transformers convention maybe 5 years ago or something, and he's backstage, right, walking off, and I yell out, "You got the touch!" And he turns around and says, "How did I do?" I said, "It was great." Anyway, he comes back about 5 minutes with his phone, and he and I singing it together like a couple of drunk guys, you know, "You got the touch, you got the power," you know. And he posts it on social media, and it's, you know, had like a million followers in a matter of minutes. But anyway, that was very cool. He was, he said, "The original baby," you know.
Awesome. Stan, cool. you were in bands, obviously, coming up. You were in the band Boulder, but like, what, how would you, the level of gratification from being in a band, you know, kind of doing your own thing, working your way up versus kind of coming in and doing these songs for movies, like for an artist, what is kind of the difference there, and like, which one's more gratifying for you?
Well, obviously, you know, I was always a band guy, you know, and we got signed a band. I was in Colorado. We got signed and came out and did for one album we did. And then the band kind of split up after that. But anyway, it just kind of worked out that way. Like I said, I did a couple of solo albums. The second one I did was the one that has a touch. And after that, it was sort of, you know, I was already sort of known as a solo artist from that point on. And so it was easy to just keep doing that. And as you know, probably, I guess, the early 90s was when, like, what you call 80s rock sort of imploded. And then, you know, became, you know, they went to this alternative and grunge and whatnot thing. And I still did stuff in Europe and Japan, you know, and that kind of kept me going. But I never really changed who I was or as far as musically and all. But anyway, but it seems like in the 2000s and just in the last couple of decades, music's kind of come back, you know, and my kind of music, you know. So, but yeah, I'm happy to be, like you said, it is very gratifying to hear yourself on TV or in a film or something. But it's like, you know, you're around LA. Like I was, I did a bunch of commercials too back in the day. I was the voice for Toyota trucks and Coors Beer and had this beer voice thing, you know, and that was nice. It was, the money's good and stuff, you know, but, I don't know. It's like, but in addition to TV shows or movies, you know, they have video games and other stuff, you know, so there's ways to sort of make, you know, make a living and all that. And, but I, you know, try to always improve my songwriting. That's one of the things if I can say anything looking back, is I've learned that, you know, you really need to spend more time on the lyrics. You know, you don't give up too soon, you know. The lyrics are important.
Absolutely. Going back to the Bloodsport, something I found interesting while I was kind of getting ready for this interview was the soundtrack released in 1990 for Bloodsport. They had alternate versions of your songs sung by Paul Delf. And I wanted to like understand kind of what went behind that.
I didn't know about that. Huh. Interesting. Yeah,
and then like 2007, they came out with like a CD, like a limited version with, they said like for the first time, your songs were put on that CD, were released there for a soundtrack.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Learn something every day. Well, like, one of the other things I did back then too is I sang a track for what's that one? Now I can't think of it. The girl cartoon.
Jim.
Sorry.
Jim.
I sang a song is called She's Got the Power. It's it was an anime thing.
Jim, was it Jim?
No, I'll have to tell you later because
I know. Because I know. I thought there was
Anyway, but that was one of those things where I just got called in to sing. It'll kick in a minute. So I shouldn't have brought it up if I couldn't think of it. Right. Anyway, a couple of anime conventions rather. People would come up, and of course the original touch was the Transformers movie. I mean, was the animated version was an anime. So it was part of the anime convention, but Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon. That's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Yeah.
I sang a theme on that, you know, soundtrack thing. So that
cool. Yeah, what does it say about that kind of music that, and it seems to me that you're really true to yourself, that you kind of found this path, found this niche, and that these songs, they're so uplifting, they're so powerful, and that they still endear to this day. I mean, a song like Freedom could have been released in 1986. It could be released today, and it still has the same message, the same overarching themes, and it still sounds great. And it's like I said, it's album-oriented rock. It's what I like. It's what my ears, it was what I connected the dots to from the 80s to today. And so that's what's great about you is staying true to yourself. And I'm just so proud of you to still be releasing new music that is so topical. And I'm just really proud of the things you've done. So you're true to yourself, though. How difficult is that? How much pressure is there to do other things, to evolve, to now we're going to do this style of music. We need these kind of guitars. That's not cool anymore. You mentioned the 80s ended and now it's grunge. And how hard was it to stay true to who you are?
That's a really good point. A great question. I don't know. It's just, I guess I'm just stubborn.
That works.
No, I'm the same way though. It makes me feel good. I love that kind of music, that style. I mean, I grew up with bands like, you know, of course the Beatles and Zeppelin, but you know, bands like Foreigner, you know, really just great songs and great singing. And I love the Eagles. I mean, there's Henley's one of my favorite artists, you know, so just that kind of stuff, you know. It's just not just sort of, you know, screaming rock, but it's, you know, has melodies, you know, has intricate stuff. I do a lot of key changes, you know, like where it does a modulation in the middle of the song, like, well, the 80s has that, you know, and I don't know. It's fun. Just trying to reinvent myself, but it's, you know, I end up doing a lot of the similar stuff because it's just what I feel, you know. But thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, I would not want to hear you do anything soft and contemplative, or I don't know. You have to be you. Let's, you know, Judas Priest, AC/DC, Iron Maiden, a lot of these bands, they were able to keep it. You know what you get from them. I like that in a band, sure. An artist, you know? Yeah, and I'll tell you this, Noah might be too humble to admit this. He may not want to admit this. On My Own is Noah's favorite song. It's his favorite song. Yes. No Thank kidding. You. Tell him Fight to Survive is one of mine, but like, why is On Your Own, Noah? Why is it your favorite song?
I mean, just kind of, we talked about it, was to say by nostalgia here. We go back to the nostalgia, what it meant to us at the time, and just the On My Own and just the things that he was going through in the film and just your voice, the power of your voice, and then the softness. I mean, yeah, that just stands out for me. And it's, people say, I can't pick my favorite song. I can't pick my top five. There's so many, but I always in my top five, and really right there at the top, number one is On My Own alone, because what you Thank and Florence all did for that.
I get a lot of people saying that, you know, it's a great song. So is Fight to Survive.
Yeah, Fight to Survive. I don't know
how I hit that note. It was like the highest, it's a high E actually. You know, it's like the, I don't know if you remember the famous scream from The Who,
Won't Get Fooled Again.
Anyway, that he hits a high E. That's the note, you know, same note as Fight to Survive.
I know you weren't singing that part, like the background vocal parts. That always has been kind of funny because, like, I love Fight to Survive and I love montages and I love that part. That's what I think. I always say Kickboxer is my, you know, favorite martial arts film of the 80s. Kickboxer, Bloodsport's number one. Kickboxer is like 1B because that montage scene stands out and that song Fight to Survive. But you got, it's like, did the, and obviously it was written not by you, but like they had to do that part, that Kumite. That's a tough lyric to try to fit in there. Three syllable word to fit into this Fight to Survive. Kumite. Kum. It's like, it's,
yeah.
What about being Kumite?
Yeah. They tell me about the film. It's like, what's Kumite? You know,
no, like, but we have to sing that.
Yeah. It's funny though. It's just, it's great to be involved with this kind of stuff, you know, and I love the genre too. You know, I've always been a big pro-military person.
Yeah.
You know, Holger, my producer, his son, he's like ex-Army Ranger, and they have a podcast and all this stuff. But yeah, it's just cool stuff. These people, they literally keep us free, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. God bless them, you know?
Oh, 100%. And that's why your single Freedom that's out everywhere. People can go check it out. Stan Bush Freedom. But that's,
thank you. Just,
we love the message behind that. And I was going to ask you this before we kind of let you go here. You've been so gracious with your time. You kind of mentioned a few, but just bands and singers you looked up to as a kid growing up in Florida, and how you would describe the process of kind of finding your own way and your own voice coming up in the business.
Oh, that's a good question. I always, every band I was in ever since like high school, junior high school and all that, even, I was always the singer, and, you know, and it just, I don't know, doing nightclubs for just literally decades. You get better and better, you know, at singing and whatnot, but, I don't know, just, it seems like my one motto about singing is, you know, put it through the wall, you know, it's just, I don't know. It really works. I mean, I Van Halen with Sammy Hagar is like, wow, you know, this guy's great. You know, I love that kind of forceful, you know, and high. I got a high voice too, and I still have that. Thank goodness, you know, but it just works. I don't know. I love the, but I don't really know as far as what to answer your question, but you know, it's just something that's kind of cool is because I can keep doing it and keep writing and stuff. And I think I'm writing better than ever. It's like, you learn a lot. I've read a lot of books and things too. And it, that helps you with your like writing, you know, how to, you know, when you're writing a song, you almost have to think in the abstract, you know, to kind of figure out what's going to work and what, you know, how to say something. And there's always, I wasn't like a poetry fan when I was a kid, and I wish I had been, yeah. You know, because you learn all the subtleties, you know, it's just, you know, it's just, that's a hard thing to do is to, you know, to learn how to say something, you know, differently and be, I don't know, and be poetic at the same time, you know, but thank you. I'm really proud of Freedom. That song, the lyrics in that, I think are really strong. It's it sums up what, you know, what it means to be an American, what it means to be free and all that. So
I mentioned people like her down on America and trying to,
that's what I don't get. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Anyway,
I guess that is the greatness of this country is we built it into such greatness that we have the people are free to dog on it if they want to. That's how great it is. I guess maybe there's
that's
a
right.
greatness to that,
that's which, exactly is, right.
which is not the side I'm on, but it's a,
you're free to say I suck, you know.
I guess so. Stan, you've worked quite a bit with Vince DiCola. Talk about that. You played the shows with him. For those not familiar, he did the score for Rocky IV, which is tremendous. And just
that's right.
What your relationship's like with him.
Oh, he's a great guy. He and I did our first sort of Transformers convention back in 97 in Rochester, New York. And he's we just kind of did like an impromptu performance thing. He had some tracks that he played too, and I had my acoustic and I played songs of mine and we played some stuff together, but he and I have been friends ever since. He played on my album back in, and we did the Transformers songs, that kind of stuff, but he wrote Dare also, but he's tremendously talented. Just like virtuoso keyboard player, you know, he's awesome, really talented and a great guy too. Been a friend for years. But he did the, like you said, the Rocky score and Rocky IV.
And I love that score because it's like so it really updates the sound. Like, you know, we'd heard the soft, you know, the Bill Conti kind of soft score in Rocky and Rocky II, Rocky III that added, you know, we had Eye of the Tiger in it and kind of added some more intensity. It was more of a, you know, popcorn film. And then in 84, it really added, I thought his score added like this new age, technologically advanced Russia, new age warrior.
Yeah,
Ivan Drago to it, and you had more of these like kind of 80s synthesizers that really brought it up to date. If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, the sequencers, the ones that go, you know,
yeah, it's awesome.
He can play that stuff. You know, he doesn't need to just do it electronically. He can actually physically play it. You know, I was like, holy crap, this guy's a machine. You know, no, he's incredibly talented.
When you do shows, do you do all the songs from like Kickboxer and Bloodsport? Typically.
Well, I do some of them. Never Surrender, I do that one when I perform. And, you know, of course, The Touch and Dare, I have to do those.
Of course.
But it's mainly Never Surrender, I guess, is from the Van Damme movies.
Yeah.
But he came, by the way, Jean-Claude came into a club I was playing at a few years after the Van Damme movies. I mean, the Bloodsport Kickboxer, and the bouncers were giving him a hard time. And I went over and said, "Oh, let this guy in." You know, he had his bouncers with him. He had a couple of big guys, bodyguards and whatnot. But anyway, he came over and said and thanked me a few minutes after that. I told him I had done the songs in Bloodsport and Kickboxer, the singer, and he said, "Oh wow!" He says, "Talking about Bloodsport," he said that the music was better than the movie. He was just joking, but nice guy, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you ever met him, so that's awesome to know.
Yeah, yeah. And I
so
met
like
him
he came into the club not knowing that you sang those songs.
Right. Yeah, I was just telling there were some friends. You know, it was like a big outdoor venue in L.A. But yeah, I just happened to come in and I recognized him. I met him at the screening also of Kickboxer, and yeah. Anyway, it was cool. Yeah,
those songs live forever, and you know it's hard to quantify the importance of that. And you know, in our case, for Noah and I, it's subconsciously and maybe even realistically and literally set us off kind of on a career. We always said we didn't want to have a real job, Stan. We want to do the things we love. We want to talk about the things we love and immerse ourselves in it. And that's what we do every day. And songs like Never Surrender, songs like Fight to Survive and On My Own and Streets of Cyan, by the way, we can't forget, has set us off on this course. And those songs stick with us to this day. And that's a huge, should be a huge badge of honor for an artist like yourself, because we tell this to Robert Tepper too. He's been on the show, kind of very similar. I think you guys have very similar voices in a lot of ways and encapsulate that vibe of, going over the top, going for it, win the fight, do it.
Yeah, it's like that old saying. I mean, if you love what you do for a living, you never work a day in your life, you know? And I kind of feel blessed in that way too. You know, it's like,
that's the American dream. That's the freedom that we have. Exactly. It all comes full circle.
That's it, man.
Well, guys, I want everybody to go to stanbush.com. You can get all the latest on the video for Freedom is there. You can get the album Dare to Dream, which came out in 2020. It's tremendous. And we'll be looking for you here as as the movie, The Last Kumite, comes out here hopefully in 2024. Can't wait to see it. Thank you so much for your time, Stan. It's been a true honor. Thank you for joining us, my friend.
We'll be looking for tickets to the Stan Bush, Robert Tepper tour. So
we're doing it.
Great. Yeah. All the best. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Stan.
Thank you. Thank you. Very much an honor.
That's Stan Bush. That's what we do here. It's like, Noah, today, every genre, every brand, everything was represented in what we do. You know, we've got the On the Road to Rock podcast interviewing the great rock musicians. We've got Saved by Nostalgia, a big brand for us because we love to go back and look at the old times in our podcast, our flagship show, Starcade Stories here. This is all-encompassing. Stan Bush bringing it on and to talk about that music. And it really is, when you talk to the artists themselves, you realize how important those songs are to you and to your past. It's like Bloodsport came out when I was 4 years old. It's like I don't even know my life without these movies or these songs. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely. I mean, you talk about these songs going back to the day and how they made the film. Like, without one or the other, like, it's not the same. And that music really made the film. When you go, when you're a kid watching it, you're not really paying attention. You're just like, I like that movie. But when you dig deeper, and why did I like that movie? Of course, Van Damme and the fight scenes, but it's also a core memory is that music. And like you said, what it means and kind of subconsciously what it led to in us here creating what we've created here with On the Road to Rock, Saved by Nostalgia, Starcade Stories, Starcade Media, everything.
StarcadeMedia.com. Don't forget to hit it up. Subscribe here, Starcade Stories podcast. You can catch us on YouTube, Starcade Media. Maybe Noah, it's because I just turned 40 about a month ago, which I mentioned during the interview, but something about maybe the last few years, I've really like over the top been leaning in to nostalgia and my childhood and the past, and whether it be collecting, you know, 80s action figures, whether it be just like completely immersing myself in the music. And I've always been such a fan. I go to see, you know, Motley Crue and Foreigner and Judas Priest and Maiden. And that's my music. That's the bands I'm always going to see. But I've really leaned into it. And maybe turning 40 is like that mark where it's like 40, hitting that decade. And like 1984 is the year we were both born. You'll be 40 in December.
9 months ago.
You're coming. You're coming on. But something about hitting, the older I get, it's like the more that decade, that time means to me. Is that, do you feel like that's the same for you?
Yeah, and more of a connection that you want to that time period. So the further we get away from it and stray from it and the movies that we see today and all the remakes and the superhero stuff. You want a connection back to the things that meant so much to you and led you to where you are in your 40s. And you want a piece of that. And so that's where the memorabilia comes in. That's where this sign of Bloodsport comes in and the movies and the action figures you talked about. That's where all that holds a special place to you, because it's like you get to dip yourself in those waters of that nostalgia again and bring it back to your present day life.
Yeah, it's like, think about it. Okay, I think about this a lot. The year 2000 was 24 years ago. That's insane. That's like if in 1994, a movie that came out in 1970, like that's insane. But yet I kind of lump in the 2000s all into one category. Like, not much has changed. It's kind of all the same, In the early 2000s, there was a lot of movies and stuff that I liked. I'm a big Gone in 60 Seconds fan, American Psycho. The early 2000s had stuff, but it's like I have to lump in the entire 2000s into one giant kind of trash can.
Cesspool.
Because it's like there's no pop culture. There's no nothing lasting, at least in my mind. We grew up, I think, in the perfect time period. We, being born in 1984 means we saw it all. Cable television was just coming out. I think Nintendo coming out in the NES, Mario Brothers came out in America in 1985. By the time the late 80s rolled around, we were the generation of Nintendo power, of the golden era of wrestling, of the Hulk Hogan rock and wrestling connection, of the hair band explosion, of Michael Jackson, Madonna, and the pop sensations, Lionel Richie that swept the nation. We were a part of it all. And anyone that grows up in their specific time period, that's going to be important to them. I totally get that. But I really think what we saw and what we experienced and what we still live in today is the utmost special thing. And, we just kind of live by that every day.
Yeah, I don't know what kids today now are going to say, like, oh, I grew up in the best time. It had The Weeknd and Bruno Mars and Stranger Things. And, like, of course, like, people older than us will be like, hey, we had Elvis, we had Frank Sinatra, we had the Beatles, movies became a thing, television became a thing. So I can see that their point, but moving forward, I can't see a point. Like you said, I don't really like being 40 and the hairline is, if you can even tell that I have one. I don't like some things about getting older, but when I think about, oh, if I was younger, then I'd had to be born during this new generation and era.
That's true.
I've experienced all the great things that I did. And like, oh, just these people say Madden's gotten worse and just video games, Xbox One. And it looks like you're just there at the game. You don't get to experience the Marios the same way that we did. And what is this technology and what is happening? And the internet, what? I can just look anything up and it's all coming slowly to you. And for the first time, I think that has more meaning to us. And so I'll deal with being 40, 39 for 9 months, but I'll deal with it.
Yeah, you get kind of lumped into the age group with me. Whenever I turn a different age than you, you're just in there.
It's and that man, they were 40, and he's 39. I'm 40. I'm 40. Yeah, exactly. A year before I'm ready to be.
It's just way easier to be like, we're 40. I don't know. It's just that's what we hope to do. We hope to really take this podcast here kind of into some different and more fun and exciting realms here as the spring and summer months start to hit. Of course, the football season, we're all in. We just got back. We did the Super Bowl. We were in Vegas for a week. We just spent a week covering the combine in Indianapolis. But the off season, we really want to delve more into the Starcade Stories podcast and do more in-person type stuff and more kind of intimate gatherings and more, just bringing you closer to the guests. So that Stan Bush interview was awesome. The things we've done, the people we've had on this show throughout the year is tremendous. We want to take it up a notch. That's what our goal is. Through this offseason, Noah, we're going to make it happen. And so stay tuned for that, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. He lives in Florida. We're going to be going to Florida for an event, hopefully. Not super close to Orlando. I don't know. We'd have to make a little jaunt up there. But, maybe we can work out some in-person Florida stuff. We've got Texas. We've got California on our minds. We'd love to be able to bring that to you. So that's in the works. So stay tuned for sure.
Starcade Stories. You know where your money stays and plays. It's with us here. Clint Switzer, Noah Groninger. StarcadeMedia.com is the website. You can get us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And our YouTube. Never surrender. That's what my message is for you today. So Noah, let's send them out one time with a little chorus. Never surrender. It's pretty easy, right? How's the song start? And a one, and a two, and a three. Never surrender. Never say die. You got the heart of a hero.
That, except that's kickboxer, not blitzboard.
Didn't do